It wasn't me, I swear. I wasn't even there.
Then please remind the court what exactly you were doing that night. Remember, you're under oath.
I was on a comparison site buying car insurance.
And which insurer did you choose, Mr. Beckett?
Direct Line.
He's a liar. Everyone knows Direct Line aren't on comparison sites. Judge, I rest my case.
Search Direct Line, because everyone knows we're not on comparison sites.
Hi, we're Sunweb. We love ski holidays, catching that first chair, enjoying every last minute, racing down black slopes, cruising down blues, and now nothing at all. We love tartiflette, raclette, and pizza with the kids, fresh air, wind in our hair, high-fiving after a great run, and enjoying the great outdoors every day. We love a ski holiday.
It's a Sunweb holiday.
Sunweb.
Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thank you for joining us here on a nice Wednesday today, Tim. January 11th, 2023. I think I should do that. Just do a little. It's overcast here in Traverse City. We're looking around 36 degrees with a slight chance of rain later in the afternoon. How's it in North Carolina, Tim? Beautiful?
It's a little chilly, but no, it's really nice. Yesterday, I was walking around with shorts and a t-shirt on.
So no,
it's been, yeah, it's chillier today. It's like 45, but it's nice.
It was 35 when I woke up and I didn't wear a jacket because I'm like, this is nice. And it's a nice day today. It's a nice day all around. You know what else is nice, Tim? It's midway through the NHL.
Wait. Before we get into it,
what?
I want to talk about something.
Okay.
I don't live in Traverse City anymore. But I do keep up with the news and the hockey world and men's league stuff. And you had a game last weekend. I heard it was a tight game.
Okay.
And someone said that you left halfway through the game.
What's yeah, I did. Jerv, wow. You talk to Jerv still?
What happened?
So I quit A-League just because I wasn't having fun in the league anymore. It had grown. The team that I joined, we didn't care about winning and losing. We just went, we played, usually won, but then we hung out in the locker room for an hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours afterwards and socialized. That's what I enjoyed. So after COVID, the league started up again and the team changed. We lost a few of the vets. We brought in some new faces and I just didn't like the direction it was heading. So this season, I said, I'm not going to play on your guys' team. I'll pop in every once in a while if the timing works out. And I joined a different team, different league. And it's been more enjoyable for me. So that's why. Because the team that I currently am on had a game at 7:50. And so my prior team, the Jolly Pumpkin A-League team, started at 7:15. So I left right before the third period started, which was crucial because I think we were tied or we might have been winning by one at that point. Yeah. And I was playing great.
I was reading the newspaper. You guys were tied 4-4 after two. And the boys didn't know you were on another team. It sounded like it almost seemed like you were quitting on them or something, or just or couldn't take the heat maybe.
Well, we were low numbers. So we only had, I think, 3 or 4 defensemen. And I was playing forward. I was playing forward because we didn't have many. We had 3 defensemen and 6 forwards. So the team we were playing were just a bunch of 18, 19, 20 year old kids just buzzing around. I think when I left, I think I had 3 assists plus 3.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Primary assists.
Nice.
So I still got it. It was fun. But I left. I went to my team and we just got absolutely smoked like 10-3. I got a hat trick. So it was good. What are you going to do?
Well, five periods of hockey in 2 hours, right? That's a lot. It's a lot for a man your age. You're getting older.
Not 39 anymore. Definitely 40. But yeah, I don't know, Tim. What would you rather? Here's a question. Would you rather play in the best league and not have fun or play in a league that isn't as good, but have a lot of fun.
The second one at this point in my life. Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. Our team's terrible. Half the guys have never played hockey before. So we get smoked every week. Well, you go, well, you have a couple drinks. You just enjoy each other's company. And that's what it's all about. And that's what it was a shame because my A-League team, I used to love it. I used to have so much fun. We used to go, we used to laugh, exchange stories, bust each other's chops. It was great. And then we just, you know, just things changed. We lost a couple guys. Like I said, we added a few guys and it's not the same vibe. So I left. I made a decision.
Well, I'm glad that you had another game because I didn't want to hear that you were getting frustrated and you quit like because you didn't want to play the third period for no reason. You know,
I was plus three with three assists. I was dominating.
Okay.
Absolutely right. Dominating. No,
I believe you.
Yeah. Jerv. We were playing physical too. The other team, because they were younger and faster.
They're a good team.
We were slower and older. We just started playing the body a little bit. And it's a non-contact league. Oh, they were getting so mad. These kids were short, like 5'5", 100 pounds, some of them. They were so small. And I just push them. And so, but some guys in our team were actually hitting. I was dying laughing. It's so funny. These young kids get so upset. I'm just like, guys, no, you're going to get beat up. First of all, like there's no good ending to this of you just confronting someone that hits you. And that guy is 70 pounds heavier, 10 years older, and has been in countless fights. So just stop. I mean, it's just funny to see people get upset. Like, oh, what the heck was that? It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to do nothing. The ref's not calling it because the ref knows all of us. And so it was just funny. But anyways, can we move on to the NHL stuff? Or do you want to talk about this anymore?
I would just say one thing and then we'll move on. Just okay. Keep in mind when you're out there, you represent both of us. It's my name's on the line. So just keep that in mind.
Should I break my leg more?
Yeah.
Get a season-ending injury?
I'm like reworking some financial stuff and I got new life insurance and I'm like clean health slate, everything's clean as a whistle, and I got a lower rate, but I couldn't get the lowest possible rate because of my leg injury last year. Because I'm like, I dropped from like the preferred elite tier to just the preferred tier, just because of a fluke accident that probably never happened again. It's not like, oh, I fell out like while climbing a cliff or something, but whatever.
Bummer. What do you pay per month? What's your payout if you croak? A million?
500. Yeah.
And how much do you pay a month? Because I got my life insurance.
Right now, well, I just switched to, I think it's 39.
Oh, yeah. Mine's lower than yours, and I get a million. I'm healthier than you.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You're still doing that through the league?
No, on my own. Danielle made me get it. She's like, what if you die? I don't know. So I got life insurance. All right, moving on. It's midway through the season, Tim. Most teams have played 42 games. Some have played a little bit more, 43. Some have played a little bit less, 39. But for the most part, the majority of teams have played 42 games. What does that mean? It means we're going to recap the first half of the season and give you some new picks for our season-ending awards, some new bold predictions for the second half, maybe some surprising teams, some surprising players. I like doing this. Because coming into this season, everybody has their perceptions on, okay, who's going to have a good season? What teams are going to win the Stanley Cup? Who's going to be there at the end of the day? Midway through the season, some guys are still there. There's a lot of new faces, Tim, that have jumped up into the crop of elite players. And it's fun to talk about because we don't get a chance to just pause a little bit and reflect. Did we make a mistake? Who's having a great season? Maybe who needs to change things up and turn things around for the second half of the season? So let's dig into it. Let's start with the creme de la creme, the number one trophy at the end of the year, the Hart Trophy, named after Bob Hart. I don't know who it's named after, but it's the Hart Trophy. Who is the Hart Trophy named after?
I don't know, you know? Either. Off the top of my head.
No, neither do I. Even all the trophies. The Jack Adams, I know. Was named after Jack Adams. But the Vezina, Calder, Norris, are they actual people? They have to be.
They all are, yeah. The Lady Bing, the Conn Smythe, oh, they're all people from like the 1920s.
Do you see the USA is spending a bunch of money to rename all their government stuff, like Fort Bragg and Fort this and Lee and all these? They're changing all the names. They're spending $65 million doing that change all the names. What do you think about that? You probably hate it. You're racist.
Well, there's probably a better use of $65 million than printing out new labels and stuff. But I don't know. I don't have a problem with it.
Just erasing history.
Not Come erasing on, it. Come on, you don't want to celebrate it, though.
Let's get in trouble. Come on. No. Say something.
No. No, no, no.
Okay. Hart Trophy. Before the season, it was really a 3-4 horse race, right? Cale Makar, Igor Shesterkin, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews. Those were the guys who everybody expected to be in the running for the Hart Trophy. Well, Shesterkin's played okay. He's not in the mix. Austin Matthews, meh. Cale Makar, meh. Not Hart Trophy level production. Connor McDavid, it's his trophy to lose at this point. He's got 77 points. He leads the league. The guy is an absolute wagon, as Tim likes to say. He puts up points at an epic pace that no one has seen since Wayne Gretzky. He's on pace for 150 points. It's his award to lose, right, Tim?
It is. And a wagon has to be a team. You can't call a guy a wagon. I might call him a stallion.
Why can't a guy be a wagon? I'm so confused.
I don't make the rules. Yeah,
just saying that just to be, or is that a thing?
It's a thing. It's a thing.
As who?
Wagon is a team. It just is. So there's a lot of fun things happening right now in the league. You look at what Jason Robertson's doing. Tage Thompson obviously will probably get some votes. Pastrnak, even a Jack Hughes. But you're right.
You can't do this. You can't do this.
This is Connor McDavid's trophy.
I have another guy in mind, and you're just ripping through all these other players.
You just shared your pick.
No, that's not my pick. I said that's the obvious pick. He's not my pick.
Okay, well, he's my pick because it is the obvious pick. It's his trophy. It just is. He's going to lap the competition. I want to make a case for these other guys, and maybe you're about to, but Connor McDavid, 77 points. It's silly now. So it's he's going to win it.
What makes an MVP? Makes your team better, right? Improves your team. Yes, he improves the Edmonton Oilers. Where does the Oilers stand right now?
Second wild card, maybe?
Maybe. They were Stanley Cup contenders to start the season. They went out. They had a great offseason. Yes, he's playing great. Do I think he's elevating the play of the people around him? I don't. I really don't. So my MVP pick, I wrestled with this one. The 6'6", 220-pound, just Adonis of a man, Tage Thompson. Lifting the Buffalo Sabres from just the depths of despair that they've been the last 3, 4, 5 years. Now they're sniffing the playoffs. He was almost my pick, but I'm gonna go a little curveball here. I'm gonna dip into a guy who's been around the league. He's won multiple Stanley Cups. He's won multiple Hart Trophies. Sidney Crosby.
Ooh,
35 years old, just dragging this Pittsburgh Penguins team to competitiveness. Yes, I know where they stand in the standings right now. They're in the wild card hunt. They've fallen of late. They're 3-5-2 in their last 10. Sidney Crosby leads the team in goals, assists, shooting percentage, ice time for forwards. He's doing it all for this team. They've lost to some talent. They're aging. Letang's not having a great year. He's on pace for 90-plus points, Tim, and 40-plus goals. He hasn't had those type of numbers since 2018, 2019. He's 35 years old. I think he's playing fantastic. He does everything right. I know he's not going to come anywhere near the points trophy, the Rocket Richard, all that stuff. But Sid the Kid, man. He's Sid the Man. He's not Sid the Kid. I think he has to be in the conversation for the Hart Trophy just based on that. He's playing fantastic hockey, and he's dragging this Pittsburgh Penguin team to being a contender, to getting a seat at the table. The same could be said for Ovechkin. I'm not going to leave him out as well. These two guys are just keeping these two teams relevant well after their expiry date. Pittsburgh and Washington, they have no business being where they're at. These two teams have been competitive for decades now because of these two guys. So I'm going Sid the Kid, and this was tough because Tage Thompson, he's second in goals, he's sixth in points, leads the Sabres in all offensive categories. He's playing great. But if it's anybody's award other than McDavid's, it's got to be Sidney Crosby. Jason Robertson's, yes, he's playing great, but I don't know. I like the nostalgia stuff. I think you have to look at the total scope of a player. Sid's doing it all over the ice. And the people he's playing with, not, you know, not as great line mates as other people have. Like when you look at McDavid, he gets to play with some pretty talented players, don't right? He gets Draisaitl, he gets Hyman, he gets some decent line mates. If I'm Sid the Kid, I get okay line mates. Jake Guentzel is okay. Brian Rust, actually, Jake Guentzel's legit. But Brian Rust, Rickard Rakell, Jason Zucker, I guess they're okay. I'm going Sid. He's my MVP right now. That's my Hart Trophy winner midway through the season.
It's not a bad pick, and I won't argue with it. But when we post these our picks, you know you're going to get ripped for, like, first you don't pick McDavid on your top five playoffs, and now you're not picking him for the MVP when he's probably going to run away with it. You're going to get some heat for that.
No. It is McDavid's award. I know how you're going to set up the tweet. It's like, John thinks Crosby's going to win the Hart.
No.
McDavid will win the Hart.
Just the names.
McDavid will win the Hart. But Crosby should win the Hart. That's all I'm saying. Post that on Twitter. McDavid will win. Crosby should win midway through the season. Norris Trophy. Best defenseman in the NHL. Coming into the season, Makar, Fox, Yossi, Hedman. Those are the names you expect, right, Tim? Those are the guys who have done it the last 4 or 5 years. Not anymore. Carlson's leading the D in points. Rasmus Dahlin's right behind him. Makar and Fox, they're close, but they're not at the top. Who do you have, Tim, as your Norris front runner right now?
Yeah, there's a few guys here that I'm looking at because Adam Fox is, I think, third among defensemen in points. And he's also, if you look at like the advanced stats, he's like doing all these special things with like time on ice and zone and breakaways and takeaways and all that stuff. And I really like what Morrissey's done, because you could almost make, if there's a defenseman MVP, it might be Morrissey, just because of the points he's put up for a team that wasn't supposed to be this good. And he's been such a huge part of that offense and defense. I love what Darlene's doing, but Erik Karlsson is my pick. I know that's probably a little bit of a boring, safe pick just because he leads defenseman in points. But John, he leads the entire league in even strength points. It's not just for defensemen. He's just really good. I know the Sharks aren't really in it, but they wouldn't be doing anything at all if it weren't for him. He's got 55 points in 42 games. He's going to get 90 plus if he keeps this up, which I think he will. So yeah, it's got to be him for me.
Yeah, that was a surprising stat. He's got 41 even strength points. When I saw his 55 points, I'm like, he's got to have 25, 30 power play points. This number's too inflated. Guy's got 41 even strength points. He's only got 14 power play points. So he's playing really, really good hockey. He's minus two for a San Jose team. I think that's a good stat, minus two, right, for this team. When there's other guys on this team, like Vlasic is double digits dash, Mario Ferraro, friend of the show, both friend of the shows, double digit dash. So I think Karlsson will get a lot of votes, but he plays on the San Jose Sharks. That's his only detriment. It's his only ping to his resume. I'm going to go off the page again. And here's the thing. This is why I like these shows, because it's fun to talk about guys who people aren't talking about. Hampus Lindholm for the Boston Bruins doesn't get a lot of points. He's not a sexy defenseman. He's plus 29. He held the fort when Charlie McAvoy was out. 5 goals, 23 assists. He's a bona fide number one defenseman playing on the second unit with Brandon Carlo. Makes that Bruins team a Stanley Cup contender. If Hampus Lindholm isn't on that team, they're not even anywhere near where they're at in the standings right now. The guy plays 25 plus minutes a night. He is lights out every single night. He does everything good. First PK unit, second power play unit. And he's doing it every single night. I know he doesn't score like Karlsson. I know he doesn't move around the ice like a Cale Makar and Adam Fox. You watch Hampus Lindholm play. It's a beautiful thing to watch. He reminds me of a Scott Niedermeyer. Maybe not as offensively gifted, but just goes about his business. You look at the box score at the end of the night. He's played 25 minutes. He's maybe got one assist, plus three. It's like, dang, man. It's a pretty good night, and you don't even notice him. So I'm going Hampus Lindholm. I thought you would really enjoy that. He's plus 29.
He's got
28 points for him. That's pretty good for a defenseman. So you figure the end of the season, he wraps up 55, 60 points plus 50. He has to be in the conversation. If the Bruins are still at the top of the standings, which I think they will be, it's a pretty good resume to argue that he is the Norris Trophy winner. But it won't, because you got to give it to the guy who's got the most points. And this is why these awards, I say it every year, they don't mean much. There's more value to a player, especially defenseman, than just putting points on the board. So Carlson's playing great, but I think he has a little bit more of a rope because San Jose is not expected to win. And maybe his defensive responsibilities aren't the same as a Hampus Lindholm, who consistently lines up versus the other team's top line night in and night out. Where Carlson, he's just like, we're going to lose. I'm just going to get the puck and go. Let her rip, tater chip. Like that's what he does. So I like a Hampus Lindholm. I love what Erik Karlsson's doing. If he gets 100 points, it's him. But I don't know. If Lindholm can continue this pace, it's hard not to talk about him. I'm surprised you didn't bring him up.
Yeah, no, he's been their best defenseman probably all season long, even after McAvoy got back. And it's just, you're right, this is a completely different team if he's not there. And so, yeah, I don't fault you at all for that pick. I don't obviously don't think he's going to win, but he'll get some votes, and rightfully so.
Yeah, no, he is the difference maker on that team right now. Yes, I know they have other pieces, and we'll get to them in a second. But Hampus Lindholm, man, he's having a good season. All right, moving on. Calder, Rookie of the Year. This is a one-horse race. More so than Connor McDavid for the Hart. Don't you think that this race is all but wrapped up? The guy out west eating coho salmon, just killing it for the sophomore assassin Seattle Kraken. Is it not Matty Beniers?
Beniers. Is that your pick?
It's got to be Matty. I have two. I have him and Owen Power for the Buffalo Sabres. Oh, I know he doesn't have any goals. He hasn't scored yet. He's got 14 assists. He's plus 10. Kind of solidified, much like Hampus Lindholm has done to the Boston Bruins. Buffalo already had a 1-2 defensive shutdown line. You slot Owen Power behind Rasmus Dahlin. It's really solidified the Sabres. They have a decent top four. I know we talked last episode, maybe they have another piece to slide in with Power, but I like what he's done. He's not overwhelmed by the ice time he's getting. He's getting 24 minutes a game. It's a lot for a young kid coming out of college playing two times a week. It hasn't faltered him. He's playing really, really good, sound, safe hockey. If you were to tell me midway through the season, Owen Power would be plus 10 on a Buffalo Sabres team with 14 points, I'll take it. I'll absolutely take it. But right now, I think it's Matty Beniers. I think he's playing great. Leads the rookies in goals, second in assists, 34 points, plus 12. Really turn that Seattle Kraken into an exciting team to watch. Yes, I know they went out. They got Burakovsky from Colorado. He's played well. They have some other pieces. Jaden Schwartz are playing. It's Jordan Eberle. It's a fun team to watch. But I think it all runs through Matty Beniers.
That's a great pick, and I love Beniers, but Beniers, you got me saying it wrong. And I was looking at Owen Power too, but I picked a different guy, a third player. I think you're focusing a little too much on the skaters. There's a rookie goalie who's doing some pretty special stuff. Think about Las Vegas, their goalie situation. Last year, they traded Fleury for basically nothing, and everyone's kind of scrambling to put all their eggs in one basket, and then Lehner's out for the season unexpectedly. We were joking about like playing the whole season with six skaters, leaving the net empty. Like, who's going to play goalie for them? This kid comes out of nowhere, Logan Thompson. Look at what he's done between the pipes. He started 28 out of their 42 games. He's 18 and 10. Gives him a chance to win every single night. He's got a couple of shutouts. His peripheral stats are pretty good. He's like sixth in the league in save percentage, I think, and you know, top 10 in goals against. He's just been really, really solid for them when they really, really needed it. And the offense has been there. The Eichel, the Marchessault, like those guys have been producing. And they obviously have two of the top 12 to 15 defensemen in Petrangelo and Shea Theodore. but they just didn't know what they were going to get in between the pipes. And Logan Thompson has been really, really good for them. And I think he's going to get it. To me, it's between him and Beniers. I could see Beniers totally getting it. I'm a big Matty Beniers guy, but Logan Thompson deserves some votes and he would be my pick.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Both of these guys are playing very, very good. Owen Power, especially. But yeah, I think it's Beniers.
I'm doing.
All right. Vezina. One horse race again. When you look at all the stats, even the advanced stats, goals saved above expected, save percentage on unblocked shots, save percentage above expected, goals against better than expected, everything. This guy is leading everybody. Linus Ullmark. Is there any reason to have a conversation? This guy's got it. He could coast to the Vezina at this point in the season. Can we just put this one to bed?
He's the only starter with the goals against minus below two. His save percentage is closing in on 940. It's 938. Those are like playoff numbers. That's like Tim Thomas, Jonathan Quick, like when those goalies get hot type playoff numbers. That's not a whole season. And by the way, he's 22-1-1. He's got two losses, one of them in overtime. It doesn't make sense. So yeah, one horse race. This is his trophy to lose.
What an amazing signing.
Amazing.
It really, everybody shook their head. You're getting him from the Sabres. You're signing him for $5 million. That seems a little high.
It was Swayman's net. That's what we thought.
This guy comes in, everybody from Buffalo. I'm a Buffalo insider. I talked to everybody in Buffalo and they said, don't sleep on this guy. He kept us in so many games. You go back and listen to these podcasts when he signed. This is exactly what I said. They said, don't sleep on this guy. He kept the Sabres in games they had no business being in. Fast forward 2 years, had a bumpy year last year. I think he would admit that. He's playing great. He's playing fantastic. It's his award to lose. He plays on a very good Boston Bruins team. That buttresses him up a little bit. But man, he's playing great. He's playing fantastic. Historic numbers. Igor Shesterkin numbers from last year. I will say this. If he does falter, there's a guy who I like. Took some heat the last few years. Won a Stanley Cup. Didn't get the recognition maybe he deserves. Darcy Kuemper. Playing pretty good for the Washington Capitals. Capitals team, maybe they don't have the best talent on the back end. John Carlson's been out. A couple veterans who have been around the league kind of holding the fort on the back end. Their forward crew, not typically known for a strong defensive-minded play. Playing pretty good. Leads the league in shutouts. We're up there, save percentage, goals against, top 10, both stats. I like Darcy Kuemper. I think he's a good goalie. I think he's playing well for the Washington Capitals. I think he has shaken that reputation he had in Colorado where, oh, the Avalanche won the cup. It wasn't him. It was a team. He's a pretty damn good goalie. I like Darcy Kuemper. I think he's playing well in Washington. I think he deserves some votes, but much like the other awards, much like the Hart, much like the Calder, Linus Ullmark, this is his award to lose at this point, but it's not set in stone just yet. Darcy Kemper's playing well. Logan Thompson might get some votes there. But right now, gosh, Omar's playing super, super good. All right. The most boring award of the year, Jack Adams. Nobody cares about this award. But we're going to give you our prediction.
Correction, Tim, you don't care about it.
I do. But when you're checking the results from the award shows, this isn't the first one you go to. This is the last one. This one in the Selkie, right? Whenever they do the articles, it's like, and the Jack Adams goes to, and you've already moved on from the article by that point. But yes, in my eyes, it's a three-horse race. In my eyes, maybe four. Lindy Ruff was there, but I feel like he's fallen off just because the Devils have been struggling the last month and a half. They really are not the same team. My three guys. And I know you're thinking the same thing. Cassidy Montgomery, right now.
It wasn't me, I swear. I wasn't even there.
Then please remind the court what exactly you were doing that night. Remember, you're under oath.
I was on a comparison site buying car insurance.
A And which insurer did you choose, Mr. Beckett?
Direct Line.
He's a liar. Everyone knows Direct Line aren't on comparison sites. Judge, I rest my case.
Search Direct Line, because everyone knows we're not on comparison sites.
Hi, we're Sunweb. We love ski holidays, catching that first chair, enjoying every last minute, racing down black slopes, cruising down blues, and now nothing at all. We love tartiflette, raclette, and pizza with the kids. Fresh air, wind in our hair, high-fiving after a great run, and enjoying the great outdoors every day. We love a ski holiday.
It's a Sunweb holiday.
Sunweb.
The guy in the lead is Sheldon Keefe for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think he's done a masterful job for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think all the turmoil this offseason, the unknown between the pipes, just the constant pressure for him and Kyle Dubas. This guy's done a great job, Tim. He's got Toronto sitting. Where are they? Just behind the Boston Bruins in the standings. They're playing great hockey, even with Austin Matthews not playing so great this year, not scoring to the standard that he has. I got to give it to Sheldon Keefe. He is my number one Jack Adams pick right now.
Are you trying to be like clever, trying to be a contrarian with this pick?
Toronto is 25.
They're right where they should be. They're right where they've been where the last 4 years. They're right where they're supposed to be. Like, he's not done a bad job, but
they're second place
coach
in the
of
NHL.
The year.
They're second
coach
place.
Of the year?
Yeah, they're
to
second.
To who?
Toronto.
To who? Who are they second to?
Boston.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be my pick. Jim Montgomery. And I don't think there's any homerism to that. Maybe a little more because I've seen the games and I know how much better the players are playing under him. But the Bruins, you weren't even sure if they were going to be a playoff team. I think you might have predicted they wouldn't be.
No,
and
that's not true.
Yeah.
That was last
year. Yes. And so, yeah, the 32-4-4, come on. This is silly. Jim Montgomery is, I would say, more than any one player. It's Jim Montgomery is the big difference in this season. So, yeah, you got to give it to him. I think he will probably end up running away with it.
Well, they have a losing record in the shootout.
Oh, no.
You're 2-3.
That's going to hurt them in the playoffs.
Might.
Yeah.
Good. I like Jim Montgomery. Yeah, he's the tap-in. He is the front runner right now. But I St. Sheldon keep more pressure to be a coach in Toronto than in Boston. Way more pressure, especially when you've been this bad in the playoffs for a few years. I thought he was going to lose his job last year. And he's come back. He's played great. This team is playing very, very, very good hockey. All right. Let's do some surprises. Good stuff, bad stuff. We'll do team. We'll do player. Then we'll put a bow on this episode. What's a good team that's surprising you this year, Tim? That came out of nowhere.
Well, I think the obvious one, the one that is the tap-in, like you said, is the New Jersey Devils. We thought this was going to be a bottom-dwelling team because they added most of these pieces last year, like a Dougie, and you kind of thought, okay, maybe they're sort of working on something, and they were still bad. Jack Hughes was doing a little something here and there, but they were still a bad team. And all of a sudden, this year, they won, I don't know, 13 games in a row or something to start the year after losing the first couple, and I know they've faltered a little bit lately, but this is still like the feel good story around the league, what they've done. It's a very exciting young team. Jack Hughes is probably one of the most dynamic young players in the entire NHL. And so for a team that has surprised me in a good way, it absolutely has to be the New Jersey Devils.
Again, much like Lindy Ruff, I would have said them a month ago. I think everybody would have said them, but they're starting to come down to earth. A team that hasn't come down to earth that has come out of nowhere. Winnipeg Jets, Tim. Come on. You got to give Winnipeg Jets some due. This was a team stripped their captain this offseason. Directionless. A boat without a rudder. Just no idea what this year was in store. I thought they were going to implode. Everybody was going to turn on the coach and the GM, and it was just going to be chaos in that locker room. Don't look now. They're playing pretty dang good hockey. They're second in the Central. Kyle Connor's taken over this team. It's his team now. Pierre-Luc Dubois has turned his season around, his career around, really. After the turmoil with Torts getting traded for Patrick Laine, coming into Winnipeg, not really having a good first salvo with the Winnipeg Jets, He's got 48 points in 41 games. Josh Morrissey playing like a Norris contender. Connor Hellebuck doing what Connor Hellebuck does. This team, for whatever reason this year, is playing to its potential. Connor, Dubois, Morrissey, Scheifele, Wheeler, Lowry, they're all playing really solid hockey. I would have not have guessed this to start the year. I thought they were going to miss the playoffs. They need to blow this team up. I think they're going to add at the deadline. I think they're playing great, great hockey. So mine's the Winnipeg Jets. That's my pick. On the other side of this, teams that were supposed to be in contention midway through the season, maybe aren't. Maybe they were supposed to be a bad team and they're an atrocious team. They're just embarrassing themselves. Who's had a bad start to the year, Tim?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of teams you could pick from here. And I went back and forth. This may be the hardest choice I had to make. But even though they weren't supposed to be like, you know, cup contenders or anything, I'm still disappointed in the Vancouver Canucks. You know what I mean? Like it felt like they started to have a little bit of clarity. It felt like the worst was behind them. When you lock up JT Miller, you got those young kids they talked about just having another year to develop and grow. You suddenly start rowing in the right direction. And it's just been another year of pain and frustration and disappointment for them since the get-go. You know, they started off, what did they lose, like four of their first five or something? Like after JT Miller talked about how important it was to have a good start to the season. I know the expectations weren't that high for them. Something maybe like a team like Florida, for example. But I am still surprised at how bad Vancouver's been. So that's my pick.
I went back and forth on this. Vancouver's the easiest pick right now. Florida is obviously underperforming. I think they will right the ship a little bit, maybe too little too late for them. Gosh, mine's the Montreal Canadiens. I'm staying north of the border. For a team that is spending to the cap, they have zero cap space available. They are paying multiple forwards north of $3 million. Like I'm talking eight forwards get $3 million or more dollars. They should be a high-flying, offensively gifted, scoring juggernaut. They stink. Other than that first line, everybody's just underperforming. And even that first line is starting to come down to earth a little bit. And Montreal Canadiens, they sit in the basement, Tim. No sign of any sort of promising play from these guys of late. They're losing games and it's not even close. There's no pushback at all. They're second last in the Eastern Conference behind Columbus, who has its own ball of wax to deal with. But I expected more from the Montreal Canadiens this season. I really did. They have a decent amount of talent up front. When you look at their lines, when you look at the players that they have, I always come away going, these guys should be better. Caulfield, Suzuki, Doc, Dvorak, first overall pick, Slavkovsky just goes out there and just gets blown up every single game. Josh Anderson, Dadonov, Joel Armia, Mike Hoffman, Jonathan Drouin. There's some good players up front, and they're just not producing. So that's my pick, Montreal Canadiens. Did you see for the Vancouver Canucks, they're already talking about buying out JT Miller?
Yeah.
Man, it's not a good sign when you're 40 games into your 7 or 8 year contract, and the buyout talks have started.
I don't think it even has started yet. Isn't it not kicking in next year? Yeah. Oh,
man. It's before he even makes a dollar on that deal. He gets bought out, which could be genius if you're JT Miller, because then you could just sign with any good team. You have that money in your back pocket guaranteed, and you can just go in and sign with a contender for $2 million, and you win multiple Stanley Cups, and you're still making $8 million. Because you're still getting however many you're going to get from your buyout, which is a substantial amount. So, gosh, the Vancouver Canucks are just so dysfunctional. It's really, really bad. So, yeah, Vancouver, Montreal, Florida, all those are Chicago. Yeah, there's a lot of teams. Arizona playing in this high school arena. Let's move on to players. Individual awards. Midway through the season. Who is your most surprising player, Tim? Who's just exceeding expectations? What do you got?
I'm going off the board a little bit with this one with a guy we don't really talk about too much. But for me, it's Jamie Benn in Dallas. We have been very, very critical of him over the years, and probably deservedly so, because he has not performed to his contract. And you can make the case he's not really performing to his contract now based on the money that he makes. But he's having a really good bounce back year. 15 goals, 22 assists, 37 points in 42 games. He's on pace for what call that 70. And he still does everything. You know what I mean? Like, he's still a physical guy. He's probably not the speed that he used to have, but to the captain of this team, I think they're probably, like I said, my team, my pick out in the West to go to the Cup. And Jamie Benn has been a huge part of that. I'm really glad to see that he's thriving. So that would be my pick.
Can't go wrong with that pick. He's good. He's well, other than Robertson, Pavelski, and Heinz, hence he's been the main, yeah. Ben Ottinger and Heiskanen.
Sagan and
but he's definitely one of the pieces of that team. I'm going
he's definitely on that team.
I'm going with Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah,
I think just what he did with Colorado, I think surprising how he stepped up to the plate when there was all those injuries for that team, and he really did kind of hold the fort with Landeskog, with Nichushkin, with McKinnon, with Bowen Byram, all these high-end guys out of the lineup. And he was the one mainstay. He was there. And so, I don't know. He might even be in the MVP category right now. He's had a great season, Mikko Rantanen. He's really, he's a great player. I did not think he could like carry a team like he did. So, Mikko Rantanen. There's a lot of good players, a lot of good stories. But I think Mikko Rantanen, he's my pick. All right. A good or a bad player. Oh, I don't like talking about negative stuff. You know me. I'm a very positive guy, but I guess we have to do it. There's some obvious picks. Jack Campbell. Low-hanging fruit. Just really having a terrible season. My pick, former Stanley Cup winner. I think he won the Conn Smythe. Correct me if I'm wrong. Levi thinks he does too. Levi, did he win the Conn Smythe?
He's dreaming. He's dreaming
about this guy. I'm going to say Ryan O'Reilly.
Oh,
St. Louis Blues centerman. Currently injured. Not going to hold it against him. Leading the league in minus. Holds the green jacket.
Ooh.
Having a terrible season by his standards. Really not giving the St. Louis Blues much to trade him because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. And when you try to trade a guy, you want to get him when he's playing fantastic hockey. You want something to look forward to. He's having the worst season of his career. He's playing terrible, terrible defensively, terrible offensively. And to boot, he's hurt now, out for a few weeks. So Ryan O'Reilly, I don't know what happened this year, but it's just not happening. He is my huge disappointment of the season so far.
That's funny because I picked two guys, but one of them was Tarasenko. For basically the same reason. You know, this is the guy entering his contract season. He had 34 goals, 82 points last year. I thought he was going to go off and have a monster year. He's 31 years old. This is his last chance to cash in. I thought he was going to go score 40 to 45 and just get himself a nice paycheck. And I had him like on all my fantasy, you know, sleeper picks and all that. And he's just been disappointing. He produced a little bit, but only 10 goals. 29 points in 34 games. So it's not like a total bust, but he's a goal scorer. That's what you want him on your team for. And like you said, he's also hurt. I don't think he's missing as much time as O'Reilly, but he's going to miss like a month or something. And the Blues have just been sort of a disaster all season long. And then the other one I would say in addition to him, and this is kind of an obvious one too, but Huberdeau. Huberdeau, yeah. 115 points last year. You wanted way more from this guy. And it's really disappointing that you're not getting it. I don't know if it's Calgary. I don't know if it's Canada. I don't know if it's teammates. I don't know if it's the coach, the system, if he's still in shock from the trade or what. But 8 goals in 39 games. And I know he's a disher first and foremost, but he's well below a point per game average when he had 115 last year. So either one of those guys, major disappointments.
Agreed. All right, one bold prediction, Tim, and a couple news, and we'll get out of here. What is your bold prediction for the second half of the season?
I have two quick ones, and you're not going to – you always hate my bold predictions, so I don't even know if I want to share them, but I will. The first one –
because they're always not bold.
The first one. Okay.
Bold prediction, the Bruins are going to get the President's Trophy. Oh, my.
Is it bold to say something's happened the last 5 or 6 years in a row is going to happen again? Is that bold?
No.
I think the Leafs are going to lose again in the first round. I don't care. You sort of buy into something, they're going to lose yet again. It's probably going to end up being Tampa, just the way the standings will shake out. But it's going to happen again. I really believe that. And the second one is a little bit bolder. You're also not going to like this one. Alex Ovechkin, he's going to hit the 60-goal mark this year. He's on pace. John just fell out of the camera. He's on pace for 55 now. And they just got their two. They got Backstrom and Wilson back. I think he could do it. I honestly think he could do it. And if he does it this year and next year, he's going to break the record next year, let alone. I honestly think he's probably has a better chance of getting 1,000 goals than not breaking Gretzky's record. So that's not my bold prediction, but I think he could get 60. That's my bold.
What did he do last year? He did the same thing last year. He scored like a million goals in his first 20 games.
That didn't happen this year. It didn't happen this year.
He's got 29 in 43. That's a pretty good start.
Yeah, but it was way more like absurd last year.
I'll stay on the goal scoring train with my bold prediction. Auston Matthews is having a slow start to his season. His Rocket Richard Trophy hopes are not great. He's got 20 goals in 41 games, so it's very unlike him. I predict he wins the Rocket Richard Trophy. He catches fire in the second half of the season. He catches Connor McDavid, who's got 34 goals right now. And Auston Matthews just absolutely lights it up. He puts 40 goals in 40 games, and he wins with 60 goals. That's my prediction right now. He can't keep on this pace of not scoring goals. His shots haven't slowed down. His shooting percentage isn't where it is historically. He's sitting at like 11.6 right now. Historically, he's a lot higher. Let's see. Where is it at here? Shooting percentage, 16%. So he's shooting well below his average. He's gonna light up in the second half. That's my prediction. He's going to win the Rocket Richard Trophy, Auston Matthews. The Toronto Maple Leafs are going to go to the Stanley Cup Championship.
Wow. That is bold. You're right.
Yeah, that's bold. All right, some quick hits, Tim. What do you got?
Yeah, speaking of Matthews, I'm going to give you a short list of players. Travis Konecny, Willie Nylander, Braden Point, Mark Scheifele, Timo Meier.
What do they all have in common? They're great all-stars.
They all have more goals than Auston Matthews. That shouldn't be the case here in January 11th. That's like, they're good hockey players. They're not better goal scorers than Auston Matthews. Something's off there. You could be right with that bold prediction, but he's not even leading his own team in goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Leafs are the best team in the league.
Speaking of, I was looking at that this morning. The Sabres lead the league in goals per games played, 3.87. Do you remember what Florida's number was last year? Was it above four?
It was over four. Yes. It was over four.
Yeah. Still really, really good. They're one goal behind Boston, but they played one less game. But really, really cool. When you think about the success the Sabres have had, it's not for lack of scoring goals, not for lack of offense with all those guys we talked about.
Agreed. They're doing well.
Thanks. And then the last one here, Matty Beniers has scored in five straight. And the Kraken have won six straight games. And also in that goal scoring front, I think they're third in the league in goals for. For a team that doesn't have any like 40, 50 goal scorers, they just have the depth and the system that seems to work. And we should spend some more time digging into how they've been so successful this season. Because you look at their roster, you're not really impressed. There's no names to blow you away. But you look at the success and they just keep winning and they keep scoring a lot of goals. It's really cool to see.
I'm thinking about scoring goals. You can score all the goals you want. It's about how many you keep out of your net. Sabres score a lot of goals. They also give up a lot of goals. So the stat that's sexy to me is the Bruins have only given up 85 goals this year. That's unbelievable. The next closest has given up 107. 22 more goals is the next closest team. That's remarkable. They're lapping the field when it comes to plus minus for goals. It's remarkable. They're almost 2-1 goals for to goals against. The Bruins are just making this league look like a laughing stock for the first half of the season. They really are. Tim's sweating. It's amazing. Getting so excited. But it is amazing what they're doing. What is it? They have two regulation losses so far. They're having a very good season.
Gosh, they haven't lost amazing. The regulation at home yet. Still, yeah. It's
they're
January.
A fun team to watch.
It's amazing. Like,
tops in power play percentage, tops in PK percentage, tops in almost goals for, tops in goals against. Have the Vezina Trophy candidate. Have the Norris Trophy candidate. They're playing fantastic hockey. Everything they're doing is right. The only thing that could hurt this team was injury. They're older. They played a lot of hockey. If they catch the injury bug, that's the only thing that stops them at this point in the season. And I don't think that's going to happen. They're playing great. Boston Bruins. Wow. Who would have thought? Not me. Tim did. Tim's the man. All right. Anything else, Tim?
Nope. That's it. We got Soderblom on Friday.
Soderblom. Very cool. Detroit Red Wing prospect. I'm excited to talk to him. All right, everybody. Have a good Wednesday. We'll talk to you on Friday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
It wasn't me, I swear. I wasn't even there.
Then please remind the court what exactly you were doing that night. Remember, you're under oath.
I was on a comparison site buying car insurance.
And which insurer did you choose, Mr. Beckett?
Direct Line.
He's a liar. Everyone knows Direct Line aren't on comparison sites. Judge, I rest my case.
Search Direct Line, because everyone knows we're not on comparison sites.
Hi, we're Sunweb. We love ski holidays, catching that first chair, enjoying every last minute, racing down black slopes, cruising down blues. And now, nothing at all. We love tartiflette, raclette, and pizza with the kids. Fresh air, wind in our hair, high-fiving after a great run, and enjoying the great outdoors every day. We love a ski holiday.
It's a Sunweb holiday.
Sunweb.